program we host each and every Friday through our partnership with Kirtland Community College. Do something today for your future that you can be proud of, and visit kirtland.edu. Normally, we start the morning with a visitor from Kirtland Community College, but instead we have our Eternal Citizen of the Year.
Yeah.
Terry Toddy is with us, and we have another food truck coming.
Yes, we have a food truck, and it's going
to please bring the microphone up to your mouth, darling.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
You have a lot to say. People need to hear it.
Our truck is going to be on a Friday this time instead of a Saturday because Eastern Food Bank has no drivers on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah, so it's going to be on the 15th.
Wow. Well, that's a change. So, yeah, I'm glad we got out in front of that.
Well, that's why I come in today because
right.
Next Friday...
A week from today at 10 a.m., you're going to have people start lining up at 9.
Right.
Yeah.
But they can't line up in the driveway this time because the daycare is also working that day. So we got a little traffic jam there. So they got to line up on the road, not
okay.
The driveway.
So. Yeah, we'll have enough volunteers to be able to guide people and show them where they're going.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's going to be our last food truck of the year.
Right. I know it gets hard to do them in the winter.
It's a little hard in the snow.
Yeah. Little
other
bit.
Than that, I don't mind the cold, but the snow is a little hard to get that truck in there.
Well, yeah, and pulling those pallets off and everything
else,
oh, yeah, it'd be a nightmare.
You'd be froze with all the stuff.
Oh, I know.
And I don't want to lose
it. It's a big project. I mean, I don't know if people understand all the effort it takes. You know, it's one thing to call up the food bank and write them a check and send the food in, but... What it's usually, 25 volunteers? Or,
oh, yeah, we have 25 to 40
yeah.
volunteers.
And you need every single one
yes,
of them.
We need every single one of them.
It's usually about 40 pallets of food on an 18-wheeler.
Right.
And to get it all down and uncrate it and sort it out and then start boxing it and putting it in individuals' cars,
right.
it's a production.
It's a big production line.
Yeah.
That's what we call it, the production line.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
it's all done out of love and support for the people that need it.
We want to give to our community,
mm-hmm.
and this is the way we feel. It's just like with our daycare there.
Yeah.
We want to do something for the community.
Right.
And that's what
that's No, that's
about.
What Mount Hope is all about. It's
about
caring.
About giving.
Yeah, giving and caring.
Right.
So anybody in Crawford County, this is not based on economic need.
No. Anybody.
Anybody that wants to save themselves a trip to the grocery store.
Right.
Because what you get at the food line is a top shelf stuff.
Yeah, we don't take the free food. We buy the truck.
Right.
So we get the better stuff.
Yeah. You get proteins, you get chickens, pork. We had short ribs, we had salmon, crazy
yep.
stuff. Yeah,
we get all kinds. We even had lobster one day. I mean, it's just unreal. And we get the flour, sugar. One time we had a whole bin of nothing but spices. Now, some of those spices are $8, $9 a little package.
No, there's a lot of expensive stuff there, you know, and milk and eggs and potatoes and pasta and,
We don't know, but we don't know what's coming in until it gets there.
Yeah.
So
no, it's general. It's a fantastic assortment.
Yeah,
it always is.
It
breakfast
is
cereals and you know just whatever you would normally go to the grocery store and buy.
Yeah, we even had a whole pallet of hand soap last time. Pumper hand soaps.
Can't even buy that stuff anymore.
No, but we had it.
So to reiterate, the last food truck of the year is going to be at Mount Hope Lutheran Church, which is at 92 and 75,
right?
Just down the street from Grayling High School. At 10 a.m. on Friday.
Yes.
So I will be mentioning it every 10 minutes during Northern Focus.
Thank you.
I'd like to be there and help you guys, but we're right here on the radio station.
Right.
Yeah.
We appreciate it all.
Well, we're happy to do what little part we are and get the word out. It's you guys at Mount Hope, you guys and gals. Primarily ladies, by the way.
Yeah. We don't have too many guys, and not only that's going to make it hard Friday, because none of our kids can come. There was kids from Kirkland that was going to come. The school kids were going to come and help, but we can't get them on Friday because they're in school.
So do you need some volunteers?
If somebody wants to come volunteer, they're more than welcome.
Okay, so you heard that. Anybody who's not working next Friday, please you just come by at 8:30 or so at Mount Hope Lutheran Church. You don't need to call. Trust me, they'll have something for you to do.
Oh, yeah, we've got lots to do. If not, we'll be doing double duty.
Yep. So please, if you have any free time between 8:30 and 11 o'clock, Next Friday. Just show up at Mount Hope Lutheran Church, and you can help them uncrate it and then put all the groceries into the boxes or put them in cars or whatever. There'll be something for you to do.
Right. And then afterwards, we have Coney dogs for everybody, all of our workers.
Well, I'll be off the air by then.
You're more than welcome.
Terry Toddy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, JC.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is in studio this morning on the phone with Linda Meyer, who is a registered nurse and breast health nurse navigator at Munson Healthcare. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well,
I am good.
Fine. Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm very aware of that. My wife has survived her bout with breast cancer. What is the latest coming out of Munson Healthcare about breast cancer?
So I was just going to start with a little bit of statistics. You know, the number of cases in Michigan is estimated at 8,700 in the year 2021. Counties with high young female breast cancer include some of our counties in our own region, such as Leelanau, Grand Traverse, Charlevoix, Manistee, Otsego, and Roscommon. The number of patients diagnosed within Munson Healthcare region has been greater than 500 per year. While breast cancer is predominantly diagnosed in women, it can also occur in men. So we just wanted to make men aware that male breast cancer does account for less than 1% of breast cancer, but it does happen. In 2021, about 2,650 men are expected to be diagnosed with breast cancer in the United States.
Wow. That is a scary thought, but I guess what's good for the ladies is good for the men. No pun intended.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder to detect in men just because, you know, they don't go for yearly mammograms. So then our advice to men are, you know, you just have to be familiar with that area. And if you notice any difference, same as with ladies, you know, bumps, lumps, redness, pain, anything like that, it's really something to discuss with your primary care provider and to get the testing ordered.
Well, mammograms are essential. I don't think my wife would have detected this for way longer if she hadn't had her yearly mammograms.
That is correct. Mammograms are very important to do, and we have noticed since the pandemic, you know, that our screening mammograms are down by about 13%. It just could be due to avoidance or delays in making, you know, the appointments, and this is going on nationwide. It's just not something that's happening in our area.
Right.
But we just like to remind people that you should start doing your screening, you know, at age 40, according to the American College of Radiologists. If found early, it's likely to be found at an early stage with successful treatment outcomes. And we would just like to make sure that everyone knows that, you know, it's easy to schedule your mammography appointment in our facilities. We're taking all kinds of measures to keep everything safe. You know, we're using social distancing protocols in the changing rooms. The schedules, we've kind of added time into the schedule, so there's not so many people in the waiting areas all at once. We're doing COVID screening, we're doing disinfecting, all of those types of things.
Yeah, it's so critical, as you mentioned just a minute ago, Linda, if breast cancer is detected early, generally speaking, it's a positive outcome. That is our experience with my wife, Cheryl. The spots that were removed were very, very small, but left untreated, that doesn't last for very long.
That is true. My saying has always been, you know, early detection is the best prevention. So I would just like to make everyone aware that we are having a screening mammography day on Saturday, October 30th, at most of our Munson Healthcare locations, including Grayling Hospital.
Okay.
So if you're age 40 or over and haven't been screened recently, we're offering appointments. Just, you know, tell your mom, your daughter, bring a friend, a coworker, anyone, just to make sure that we can get ladies in to be screened. All you really have to do is contact your healthcare provider to schedule that mammogram appointment. If you don't have a healthcare provider, we do have an Ask a Nurse line that they're able to call so we can get that order.
Is this a no-cost procedure?
Most insurances do cover it. If there's anyone that has issues with insurance coverage, we do have some programs that can help with that.
Okay. So Linda Meyer is on the phone with us from Munson Healthcare and speaking about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Anything else, Linda, that you've been focusing on, especially in October?
In October, you know, we've really focused on, you know, getting the word out there to our patients, our females, just to make sure that they do get that scheduling done. You know, there's been last weekend, we did do a race. There was the 5K Fight the Good Fight. It used to be called the Remembrance Run. And so it was kind of nice to be able to participate in that and be out there with information to get out to the community. And then the proceeds from the race, they do donate it to our Cancer Needs Fund, which in turn supports all of our patients.
Well, it's thank you for all the work that you're doing at Munson Healthcare, especially this month for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Linda, I'm sure there's more information on the Munson Healthcare website.
Yes, there is. So they just need to go to munsonhealthcare.org, and then there's links that will take you to more information as far as the importance of breast exams, screenings, and then any activities that are going on.
Right. And healthy lifestyle changes as well, keeping your weight down and eating right and those things.
Yes, 48% of cancers are preventable, and you just have to look at those lifestyle things. You know, things that we can prevent, obesity, alcohol use, decreased physical activity, you know, things like that. I mean, as I said before, you know, early detection is really the best prevention. So since the peak in 1989 with breast cancer death rates, it has declined by 41% through 2018 because of early detection and improved treatment.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Linda Meyer from Munson Healthcare, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the Green Room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Mary. Mary, I'm sorry, what's your...
Lyons. My name is Mary Lyons.
Mary Lyons. Mary, you need to put the microphone as close to your mouth as possible, please. There you go. Hey. It's on your business card. It's not on my sheet, though.
Sorry.
It's not your fault. So Mary's with River House, and you got a lot going on this month.
I do. I'm the youth advocate. I've been there since 2017, but we're ready to start up our glue group for students. I'm reaching out to the schools. I'm ready to go and meet clients one-on-one.
So this is for youth, younger children, school-age children who have are in abusive situations. Yeah.
If their families have domestic violence or sexual assault going on, or just even bullying at school, they can come to the group and meet others who are going through the same thing. Maybe they've experienced it directly or indirectly, like they know their aunt, their uncle, the neighbor.
Right. I know that this has been a particularly troubling problem, especially from last year when kids were not in school. And
yes,
so much stressful situations happening in the home with COVID and everything else.
Well, moms and dads didn't know what to do.
Right.
They weren't experienced educators, and they were stuck at home. The kids were bored. And many families come to school, and that's their safe area.
Right.
That's their sanctuary where no one's yelling or fighting. So it was a tough year.
You call this the GLUED group. That stands for Growing, Learning, Understanding, Empowering Decisions.
Right.
I love that. That is a it's a great acronym for bringing kids back to getting their self-esteem back, finding out
right.
that yeah, the reason why they've been bullied or anything else has to do with the other person, not themselves.
That they're a worthwhile person, and no one deserves the roughness or the arguing and the name-calling they're hearing at home or at school.
Right.
And we talk about how to help another person who's being bullied, how to stand up for themselves, their family, and the kids at school.
So this is every Tuesday. This is happening after school at River House.
At River House from 4 to 5:30. I do a craft and a snack. We tell a story and have a good discussion about the topics like bullying, boundaries, conflict resolution, healthy relationships,
violence prevention, safety
right
planning. You've got a lot of topics, yeah.
With the older kids, we talk about dating violence because the same crap that happens in in rough marriages and domestic violence, it happens between teens that are dating. They are echoing the habits they're learning at home.
Right.
And they're trying to find their own way in life.
Well, I know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's also domestic violence month as well. So, like I said, a lot going on in October.
A lot going on.
And then you're going to have a trunk or treat as well.
We are. We're hosting a trunk or treat at our River House resale. And that is going to be the kickoff party to start Glued Group this year.
Right.
I plan on games, fun, and of course treats.
Treats, trunk or treats. So it's a costume party happening from 2 to 4 at the resale store out here on M72. And that's
right.
going to be happening from 2 to 4.
2 to 4, come in costume. And if you don't have a costume, you can pick one up at the store. Any other treasures you could need for your home, you'll find there at Chasing Dreams River House Resale.
Yeah, it's a great organization that you have going on at the resale store right there on M72 next to Comfort Center.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mary Lyons. From River House, if you have, just very quickly, Mary, how do the kids get involved with Glued?
If you need to get involved in Glued, you have a parent or a grandparent, call the office at River House, 989-348-3169. Or you can email me, youthadvocate@riverhouseinc.org. Call or email and we'll sign you up for Glued Group.
Or you can check out for more information and find out if River House is a place that you could have some support for your what's going on in your life, and that's riverhouseinc.org.
Correct.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Q100 brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Kenamore Duncombe, who is the Director of Financial Aid at Kirtland Community College. Good morning. You need to bring that up to your mouth.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am doing great.
I thanks for making it.
Yes. I'm happy to be here.
So, financial aid. One of the things that Kirtland Community College specializes in is the making college education affordable.
Yes.
You need to bring that up as close. There you go.
About 92% of our student gets some form of financial aid.
Yes, I know. Dave. Dave is in here every other week talking about all the scholarships and the financial aid. There's not just scholarship. There's a lot of money coming from the state of Michigan and
yes.
a lot of other outlets that you can help make an education affordable.
So at the start of October 1st of every year, the free application for federal student aid also known as the FAFSA.
FAFSA.
Is one of the most important pieces of the college planning process.
Right.
However, fewer families are filing the FAFSA each year.
Really?
What's the biggest reason for not filing? 4 in 10 families think they won't qualify for aid. That couldn't be further from the truth.
Well, and the other thing I'm sure is when you first go on that website, it looks complicated.
Yes.
I've filled out those FAFSA forms, and you just have to have just a touch of patience to do it and get your organization together, get your taxes and your W-2s together. But it's actually a pretty easy application once you start it.
Yeah, and it has become easier over the years.
Right.
There is now a mobile app that the student can actually do it from their phone. They can sign, save, and submit right from their cell phone.
Well, that's good for the kids. Not necessarily the parents, but it's good for the kids.
Yes.
But, you cannot get financial aid for college without filling out a FAFSA form.
No. So that is the first part of the process.
Right.
And even the state, some of the state, they do have deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the colleges set priority dates. So the earlier students get this done, the better is their opportunities for getting help. Form of help.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you have some questions, you can contact Kamori at Kirtland Community College.
Yes.
275-5000.
Yes. Yes, and we'll be happy to assist any questions they might have.
Or if you go to kirtland.edu, you have your own tab as well.
Yes.
Kamori, you also have some work-study openings on campus.
Yes, we do, and it is important that students participate in work-study because it does not count against their Title IV, which is what they get from the federal aid, eligibility. And so it's always students wonder, oh, I could just work outside. I don't have to work on campus. But not only is it convenient, it does not count against them. And so we do have some
And you still
openings.
Get paid.
Yes.
There's money involved.
Yes, you do get paid. You don't have to drive all over the place. You come to class, you work,
right.
And that is helpful. And so they can apply. They can go to the kirtland.edu/paying-for-college/student-employment. And complete the student employment application.
Or just go to the search engine and put in work study.
Yes, you can do that too.
That might be easier than all those dashes. So what kind of jobs can people find working at Kirtland Community College?
Okay, so our student jobs are available in almost every department. We do need assistance. And it is also helpful for the student to get some form of experience.
Right.
When they're filling out their resume, something to put on there that they have some form of experience. So any department that you can think
of. And obviously the college is hyper aware of the fact that you have studies to do, so they can work around your schedule.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can do that.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think it's it's important for the college to run properly to have students working there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else, Kamori?
I think you cover most of it. Again, just want to emphasize, get that FAFSA done.
Right.
You never know if you're qualified for something.
No, even radio station owners have qualified for federal financial aid and state financial aid for their college going children and or not children anymore.
Yeah.
Kamori Duncombe from the financial aid department at Kirtland Community College. Thanks for joining us here on Northern Focus.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus. Brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. All right, we are back here on Northern Focus. Jerry Coyne is in studio, and I'm on the phone with our congressman from the 1st District here in Northern Michigan, General Jack Bergman. Good morning, General. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm great here in the North Woods, and the leaves are pretty much gone.
Well, that's not happening here. I know you're on the first wave of it up in the UP. So the colors have already come and gone up there, huh?
They have. It was a little bit early this year, but it was. I got here towards the mid to the tail end, but nonetheless, it's. The only thing we know that's coming next for sure is snow. The only question is when.
When and how much, right?
You got it.
So there is a lot going on. Thank you so much for joining us. General Bergman joins us every 3 months or so here on the radio program just to bring us up to date on what's happening in Washington. And obviously, General Bergman's focus is what happens for us here in northern Michigan. So, most of what we hear right now out of Washington is trying to hammer out a new budget and where the dollars are going. A lot of it has been argued about the infrastructure plan that the president has. So where do we stand on these things?
Well, that's a broad question.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. When I woke up this morning, I got an email saying that the speaker has called the House back into session next Tuesday to vote on the short-term debt limit increase that the Senate just passed. So the bottom line is, there's an old saying, when you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. And what we've seen in Washington, D.C., especially on the House side for the last 3 years, is, let's just put it this way. A lack of leadership focused on what the American people really, really need, and also what they're willing to, if you will, get involved with to keep our country moving forward. But Washington, D.C. has kind of self-isolated itself from the reality of what the American people need. Now, having said that, when you think about an infrastructure plan, and you've heard numbers from $3.5 trillion to $5.5 trillion to whatever it is, it doesn't reflect infrastructure. Those of us who work for a living, those of us, and when I say work, that means everybody who gets up every morning and goes to their place of duty or their place of work, whether you're teaching, whether you're working in a gas station, whether you're working on a radio station, whether you're working in the gas and oil fields, whatever it is you're doing, but you're going to earn a paycheck so you can support your family. We know what infrastructure is.
Right.
You can drive on it. You can dial in through it. You can connect through it via internet, which is something that is so badly needed here in the first district, but also in other parts of the country. And even in, believe it or not, some inner cities that don't have connectivity. So when you go through what we went through the last year and a half, when people have to work from home, kids have to go to school remotely, we don't have the infrastructure for the broadband.
Right.
So the point is, what we've seen and what I've seen, and I'm quite honestly right now, unless something drastically changes, I will be voting no on the infrastructure bill because it doesn't put money towards what I just talked about.
Well, then where is it just loaded with pork?
Well, it's loaded with things that would, I hate to use the word, inclusion or whatever, but things that are going to make people, some people, feel good. The Green New Deal, an example, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars going into what I would call technologies that have a potential future, but are a long way from actually transitioning us from where we get our energy now and being energy independent, which we had achieved under President Trump, and now we've gone back to energy dependence under Biden. I mean, it's kind of like it's backwards. Remember the movies Back to the Future? Well, it's kind of like going back to the future and going, what didn't we learn the first time? Create your own future by investing in yourselves, in your infrastructure, in your industries, and then let the people come to work.
So on a soup to nuts explanation, General Bergman, this is one of the reasons why the gas prices have shot through the roof, isn't it?
Well, every time I drive by the gas stations up here in the UP, it jumped 20 cents the other day from 319 to 339. And I just say, thank you, Joe Biden, because this is what you got. You don't have to be politically savvy to understand that if someone got a stimulus check a year ago or 6 months ago, that's all been eaten up in the increase in prices at the gas pump, at the grocery store, and everything else that you do. So this is truly a bait and switch by the Democrats to get power and control over us as the American people.
Well, why have these the domestic oil exploration been pushed off? Is this strictly, a political maneuver? I mean, I keep hearing all the stuff about electric vehicles and solar-powered future and everything else, but most of our infrastructure is not built for that.
Well, it's not built for it, but when you think about who built the infrastructure, we did.
Right.
Because of the economic opportunity, and you let the business sector, the private sector, build the infrastructure because they understand they're not going to waste money building a building that doesn't need to be built. Or the private sector is what drove our country literally centuries ago, and it still continues to drive us. But what the American people, I believe, have failed to realize, is that the amount of effort it took to get where we are. But we're on a slippery slope right now to all of a sudden waking up one morning and saying, oh, you got an electric car? Well, guess what? Number one, you can't afford to buy it because it's too expensive. Number two, some company got a government subsidy going back to, let's say, the Solyndra deal with the solar panels during the Obama administration. But somebody got a good deal because they were able to get some wording and legislation that inhibited or prevented the private sector of Michigan, here our oil and gas industry, from doing what they do best, which is transition technologies and capabilities to provide a good product at a fair price and make a profit. Pretty simple math, but that the government doesn't understand that.
Yeah, it's a scary future that we're heading to. Going back to what you mentioned, so Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has called back all the Congress people to vote, not on a budget yet. This is just to kick the can down the road to fund the government for what, another month or 6 weeks?
Yeah, till December. So you're basically looking at probably about 60 days.
I keep hearing from what I see politically when I happen to be able to sit still and hear her talk about the possibility that the Democrats could pass the budget without any votes from Republicans. Is that possible?
Well, they have a race. You know, of course, again, it's a good thing Nancy Pelosi lives in California, although she doesn't live near Disneyland because she's in Northern California, Disneyland, but she does live in Fantasyland every day. And she has such an extremely slim margin in the House of Representatives that right now, the only reason we haven't voted on a budget, pure and simple, she doesn't have the votes. She's got the moderates in her party that are trying to do the right thing for the American people, and she has been bought and paid for by outside interests over time. So the bottom line is you get what you got with her style of leadership, but she's got her own little, I'm not going to say civil war, that's too strong, but she's got her own little fight going in her own party with the likes of the Squad and others who literally, their goal is to take America down. And I try not to sugarcoat things, but I also try not to inflate them.
Right.
But if you hear some of the rhetoric from some of the members of her party, they don't care about the United States of America. They want power and control over everyone. Again, I don't understand it, but I accept the fact that this is the worst of human behavior.
We're on the phone with General Jack Bergman, a congressman from the 1st District. I've had the pleasure of knowing you now, Congressman, since you've become a congressman for this district, since Dan Benishek retired, and you've been doing a wonderful job here. And I would consider you a reason-minded moderate. How we see this rhetoric that you're talking about, but in Washington, how many people are actually, you know, in the House of Representatives working across the aisles? Are you starting to see people work behind this? Is there a movement this way, or do you think that it's actually going the other way?
Well, you know, Jerry, thank you for the question, because I say this every day. The only thing I feel bad for the American people for is you do not see good rank-and-file Democrats and Republicans like me working in the trenches every day, all day, sitting together trying to hash out good policy.
Right.
But that's not exciting, doesn't capture the media, you know, whether it's on TV, whether it's Fox or CNN, or whether it's, you know, somewhere out on the Internet. It's like a soap opera there where you got, 10% getting all the media attention, and guess what? All they are doing is they're just playing to the cameras.
Right.
That's all they're doing is playing to the cameras. But the American people have to really take a hard look at who they have there representing them. I mean, I'm proud to be part of the Michigan delegation. We have some really strong, solid people, but we also have a couple of people who don't reflect, I believe, our American values.
Well, I know that it is your first priority is to make legislation that works for all Americans and focuses on the needs of what happens here in northern Michigan. And as I said when we started this, Jack Bergman, thank you so much for joining us every 3 months or so to bring us up to steam on what's happening here and helping us form the legislation that we need to make America great again.
Well, Jerry, thank you, and I just know that I've got the greatest staff. I'd put them up against anybody's in Congress, so if any of your constituents, you know, any of our citizens here have issues, please reach out, especially in your area, to our Traverse City office, because we deal with the government on behalf of the people of the 1st District to try to help them get whatever problems they have solved. But it's just an honor to represent everybody here, and just thanks for the time.
Well, thank you, and I can attest to that. Dakota from your office has been helping us with our SBA stuff, so that is not just lip service that General Jack Bergman is giving us. His office is here to help, and it's helped us, so thank you for that.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you, Jack Bergman, and continuing to do the work that we need to have done here in the state of Michigan.
Thank you, Jerry. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Take care. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. And we just got off the phone with Jack Bergman, our U.S. congressman here for the district, the 1st District. And now we have our representative right here doing the business on the ground for us locally, Dare Rendon. Thanks for joining us, Dare. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Well, you know, it just kind of, there's been so much stuff coming out in the news, not only nationally, and you heard Jack Bergman talking about the infrastructure problems and a budget that is not getting passed, but the state has hammered out a budget agreement.
Well, the good news is we did hammer
out. I need your mouth just a little closer there, hon.
There we go.
Thank you.
The good news is we did hammer out a budget agreement, and I think that very few people will be left in the cold on this. Everybody got something. We had more money to work with than we ever have before.
Right.
Partly due to COVID.
Well, I know a lot of federal money has come into the state and really hasn't been spent yet. That's kind of like the jackpot, right? There was some fiscal responsibility, and it wasn't spent as the usual drunken sailor term that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I have to say, we did a good job patching up some of the things that happened during COVID, and the biggest thing we did was plug $500 million into that rainy day fund that the Snyder administration had at $1 billion, because we had to eat into that
right
with COVID. So it was a good way to use some of that one-time money.
So in broad terms, dear, where are the bigger dollars going? I mentioned to you on the phone when we were setting this up that I was on Mackinac Island when the governor first announced that they had hammered out a budget. And she had some broad strokes about, well, we're going to finally fix the damn road. So some of it is going to go into the state infrastructure. Where else are we looking at putting some dollars where we really need it in the state?
Well, workforce development is going to be renewed, and there is going to be some investment in that. I think right now, the goal is to get people back to work.
Right.
And
there's enough jobs.
There's enough jobs. And now we need people that are ready to do those jobs.
Right. What is there a plan in place? Like, is money going to go to maybe small businesses so they can pay a larger wage? Or how are we going to push people off of the unemployment rolls? Because we know a lot of people right now are manipulating that system because they don't like, they've been able to make a good living not working, which is kind of an odd way to sentence, don't you think?
Yes. In a word, yes. I'm going to do something most politicians do. I'm going to give you a one-word answer. Yes, it's been very profitable to stay at home. And right now, we've got our schools open.
Right.
Most of the schools here in northern Michigan in particular, and even downstate, kids are in school every day.
Right.
They are back to school, and now parents need to get back to work.
Yeah.
And unemployment, the federal bonus part, I guess, has been detriment to that.
That ended in the middle of September.
Correct.
So, a lot of us small business owners who are looking for workers kind of thought there would be a wave of people coming back into the job force. That hasn't happened yet.
No, it hasn't happened yet. And I think a lot of people have just been worried about more than just getting back to work. The other thing is childcare.
Right.
And
right.
I'm going to go back to that. That's a perfect segue into what we just did with the budget, which was put $1.5 billion into childcare here in Michigan. That is unprecedented.
So what is that going to go into preschools, and is that going to be is the dollars going to go to like elementary schools so they can open up child care centers? How is that going to work?
Well, we just passed out a package of bills just this week,
uh-huh.
Directly connected with how that child care money will be distributed. And here in northern Michigan, it's been a real issue for us because we don't have a lot of the big facilities that
right.
are down in the big urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give a lot of credit to my colleague, Jack O'Malley, because he kind of spearheaded this. There were several legislators that worked on this child care package specifically. And it was designed to boost in-home child care. It increased the number of children that an in-home child care provider can take in.
Okay.
By just one child. Believe it or not, when you're licensed and you have to report to all these agencies, there are very strict rules. There were a lot of simple fixes there, and there's also a piece in there that will allow in-home child care providers to work with the Department of Education for resources so that they can get a piece of this extra money.
Well, I know that's the other complaint. I mean, what happened with COVID and everything else, my job was eliminated or whatever, and then because my child wasn't going to school, we had to have somebody at home, and it caused turmoil.
Yeah.
But like, as you indicated, kids are back in school, And we need to, you know, what made America great, dear? Hardworking Americans.
Amen.
And that idea that if you work hard and play by the rules, that's why immigrants come to this country. And a lot of that has seemed to go away. And instead of, you know, what Jack Kennedy said, let's not ask what the government can do for you, but what you can do for your country, that seems to have gone away as well. So we need to reinstall the idea that if you come here and roll up your sleeves and go to work, this is the greatest country in the world.
And it still is that country. We just need to help people get back on their feet after the pandemic that we've been through. And we need to make sure that there are workplaces for them to go and to fill the needs that we have in particular areas. Here in Michigan, in northern Michigan, we have a severe problem with a shortage of housing.
Right.
And part of the reason for that, okay, there's several reasons. There's land, there's availability,
costs,
there's
right.
costs, all of that. But there's also the fact that we need enough workmen to actually do the work.
Right.
And that requires craftsmen. It requires bricklayers. It requires masonry contractors. Master builders, plumbers. You could go on and on with that, and we just simply don't have enough. I'll give a lot of credit to the availability of programs in this area.
Right.
And I think you're going to see that expand a bit. The money that we had in this last budget is going to be sent out to some of these programs in one-time money, and it's going to give a lot of programs a boost.
Right. Dare, I know we could do this. We should have you just come in and do a whole hour of Northern Focus because there's so many things to do. But, you know, you are easy to get a hold of.
Yes.
And, you know, not just a guy with a radio station. I know you deal with a lot of your constituents one-on-one. So if anybody has a question and wants to get a hold of you here in the 103rd District, how do they do that?
They can contact my office. My email is darerendon@house.mi.gov,
right.
Or they can call me at 517-373-3817. And the phone is always available. Leave a message. Just be sure to leave your name, address, and phone number, and what issue you're calling about, and we'll make sure that we get back to you.
Yeah, and you do.
And we try.
I know. It's you know, thank you so much for all the work that you've been doing for us here in the 103rd District and beautiful northern Michigan.
Amen. And just one last thought, if I may.
Absolutely.
Redistricting is going on. And so for all of you who have lived in the 103rd District, just be aware that in the near future, we may be a different number district. And that's very real.
Oh, really? Is that expanding or
no,
just changing?
No, they have changed the numbering on the districts
gotcha.
In northern Michigan.
All right. Well, we'll have you in shortly, and you can explain that.
Okay.
All right. That was Dare Rendon. Thanks for joining us again here on Northern Focus. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Goodies in the Green Room come from Cops and Donuts, a Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smoke delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is on the phone with Chris Krasiewski, who is the program director of the Women's Resource Center of Northern Michigan. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm doing well this morning, and I'm hoping the very same for you. Thank you very much for having me on today.
Well, I know that October is Domestic Abuse Month. I hate that we have to have a whole month to focus on this, but as you and I were talking off air, even though this continues to be an issue not only across the country but specifically here in northern Michigan, the resource centers had a lot of success stories, and I think it's important to concentrate on some of those.
Thank you, Jerry. I can't agree with you more. Yes, there is a lot of work that still needs to be done. But as we were talking, you know, 20 years ago, radio stations weren't calling and airing, you know, podcasts and listening sessions like you are doing. And this really does build a stronger, safer, much more thriving community when we do talk about our strengths as well as the things that we need to really work on. and intimate partner violence, domestic violence awareness month, really gives us this opportunity to have this conversation and to really, you know, tap into your listeners and to think about different things that we all can do to support survivors and support families that are really experiencing intimate partner violence. And I think there's things that all your listeners, no matter what they're doing, no matter where they are, that they play an important role simply by reaching out to family and friends and neighbors that they are thinking, you know, is everything feeling okay? You're looking uncomfortable. Are you feeling safe at home? I want to let you know I'm a safe person to be around that you can talk to. You know, that kind of gesture can really go very far in somebody that might be really uncomfortable and feeling unsafe in their relationship. I think it's really important, too, to really believe survivors.
Right.
You know, and I think that's really common. You know, you're seeing that on national news on a regular basis where people aren't believing survivors. And so we need to really support one another and say, no, they're really, yeah, this is really happening and it's real. And Jerry, another piece I want to make sure that you get out to your listeners is there is a national domestic violence helpline number that is really important for all of your listeners. You cover such a great area here in northern Michigan, and the national number is 1-800-799-SAFE, and that's 1-800-799-7233. And that's a national domestic violence helpline, and that's for survivors, families, friends, that they'll connect you to the domestic abuse program that's in your listening area. If it's the Cadillac program, the program right here in Petoskey, the one in Traverse City, there's one in Grayling.
Right.
So we really want folks in Michigan to know that we want to be there to support that survivor and family members that are really trying to work together to make changes so that we can be a good, strong model for respectful relationships and making a change for that.
Well, there's so many things at play here, Chris. You know, when as we were talking off air and you said you've been in this position now 35 years, you think about what was acceptable behavior, you know, for fathers or dads and how they ruled the household till now, that some of those, the kids who were the parents who were kids at the time that grew up under different circumstances have to try to navigate a whole new social and political atmosphere. And I know that you guys at the Women's Resource Center have some strategies for that.
Well, and Jerry, thanks, because I do think, you know, all of us in all the communities, we want safe and thriving communities.
Right.
We want communities where everyone is feeling safe and comfortable. And I think all of us learning how to navigate things differently. Yes, there is some social change that really has taken place over the last 20 years. And some people want to resist it and some people want to embrace it. And I think, you know, mentioning fathers, I think that's one really important, so important to a family and to our community in really helping raise that bar in that role of what roles father play in a family in bringing up of children. And in a lot of ways, I think we're really raising that bar of what is expected. And we're raising it in a kind way, in a respectful way, to really engage with your children. And some really basic things, and there's so many wonderful fathers out there, and I think, too, to really celebrate them, I think that men in general are all held accountable for the for the small percentage of rotten men, you know, and I think I'm really seeing many groups of men come together and really engage and see how much they play a role in helping end specifically violence against women. And Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a fantastic month to really have these conversations. Of course, I'm having them throughout the year.
Right.
I think this is a time that you bringing this to the front and saying, no, let's just talk about what can I do just to be a little bit kinder today and to show that I'm a safe person. That I think it is really small things, and people want fantastic things, that, you know, you're going to have a tidal wave of change. And, you know, change is small.
Change is slow.
But we all can do a part.
Right.
We all can do a part. And it doesn't have to be this huge thing, you know.
Right.
I'm not shouldering all this on my own. We're doing this as a community.
Right.
And together, you know, just knowing that there is a national helpline, that there's local programs right here, and you were bringing up, I mean, there's many, many community and businesses, a radio station like yours that's airing this. You know, this is building stronger, more thriving communities, and that's what we want. We want our businesses to be successful. We want our local towns to really benefit, and how that happens is by having strong families. And we can all have that working together and supporting and helping victims of intimate partner violence and holding perpetrators accountable.
Yeah.
You know, and I think holding perpetrators accountable is much more than calling the police. You know, I think a lot of times when we think of crimes, we think, well, call the police, there's going to be an arrest. You know, this is bigger than that. It's definitely police. Police play a very important role in this, and they are at the table. They are having the conversations. They are having the training. And it's more. It takes a community in order to really have a safe, strong, and thriving community. And that's where every individual plays a part about accountability. So when I do see inappropriate behavior, is it safe for me to speak up?
Right.
Is it okay for me to speak up? And you know what? I have a gut reaction that I know when it's all right. I know when I'm offending someone, and I know when I'm being kind, and so do you. And so when we put out kind gestures in a safe fashion, we make a difference. I'm moved by what we can do.
Chris, very briefly, you mentioned earlier about, you know, people, normal citizens like, you know, you and myself, well, you're a little bit more trained for this, being a little less afraid to identify maybe a situation and reach out to those people. I know there's a prevailing thought that, you know, you should keep your nose out of other people's business. But like you said here a minute ago, I mean, we know what's right and what's wrong, and especially during this month, it should be a little bit more of a focus. Hey, if you think you see something that's out of the norm between a man and a wife or children and their parents, then it's important to try to see if you can do something about that situation.
You know, and I think it is scary. You know, you don't want to exacerbate the problem.
Right.
You want to step in and offer help.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything I can do to help in this, you know?
Right.
Can I carry your groceries? Can I help you with whatever? You know, sometimes just a basic intervention like that can really tip the scales where just to make that moment a little bit better, to know that you care enough. So when we talk about intervening, we're not talking about, you know, if I see something unsafe, I should call the professionals.